he gets asked to go up to the north of Thailand sometimes, Chiang Mai and Chiang Rai. They talk about how cold it is. Says there, it's really cold up there for Thai people sometimes. He hears about some places in the world that are so cold that people die from the cold. There's a lot of people younger than we are that have died. Death is something normal and natural and not out of our control. Sometimes there are lots of good doctors and healers with lots of good advice, but what Longpa does is teach us how to find true happiness, not trying to heal not trying to heal the body. He doesn't teach that. He teaches us to just see the truth. 30 years ago, he went to see his teacher for the first time when he became his teacher, Venerable Dun. And Venerable Dun taught him that practicing the Dhamma is not hard. It's only hard for those that don't practice the Dhamma. You've read and studied a lot of books. Now study your own mind. That was his first teaching he gave to Longpa. A lot of people misunderstand enlightened masters and think that they should be stiff and tight. Think they shouldn't smile. Things like that. So he was talking about going to some great teachers in the past. One of them, his name was Fun, Master Fun. People were scared because he had a reputation of being really strict, and people were scared to go see him. So he wanted to get advice from him, so he went to his temple and to his hut where he stays. And at the time, he was just a young practitioner and he was scared and he wasn't sure what to do, so he was breathing and saying, "Budo, Budo, Budo, Budo," you know, waiting to see this teacher. The teacher saw him and took a look at him. He was waiting outside for him to finish eating. And he was happy to see him come out, and Longpa, at the time, a layman, prostrated, bowed to him. And then he told this monk that he would like to practice the Dhamma. He's talking about his teacher, Venerable Dun here, the first time he went to see him. So Venerable Dun sat down in front of him. He said that he'd like to practice the Dhamma. And then Venerable Dun just closed his eyes, didn't answer anything. Just sat there for a long time. He's wondering, oh, he's an old man. He just had something to eat. Maybe he fell asleep. He wasn't sure what happened. Took a while. Finally, after at least a half an hour, almost an hour, he spoke. And that's what he said. Dhamma is not difficult to practice. It's only difficult for non-practitioners. If you've studied a lot of books, now it's time to study your own mind. So he taught him to watch his mind. If it's somebody who has never practiced before, he'd have to say more than that. He'd have to tell them how it is that you come to be aware and that, but he just gave me that one teaching. But this wasn't a popular thing at the time. Everywhere you went, in all the temples in Thailand and all the monks, everybody was talking about watching the breath and watching the body. There weren't people talking about seeing your own mind. Almost across the whole country, everybody was just practicing watching the body. But Venerable Dun said, in the future, Thailand will be filled with people watching their minds. Right now, 60% of Thai people live in urban centers. Thailand used to be primarily an agricultural society, but now people live in cities. And because we live in cities, the senses are making contact with the world all the time. There are so many things that we're making contact, so many sounds and sights and tastes and so on. It's not like the old days where you had lots of time sitting and eating for long periods. Occasionally you hear a bird tweet, looking at the trees, seeing the animals. It was a very simple lifestyle in the past. And the mind is closer to a state of peace just in its normal state. The environment was appropriate and suited the practice of sitting in peaceful meditation, and people were able to do it well. And so that was the recommended teaching at the time. But these days, with living in the cities, we're so impatient. Our minds are thinking a mile a minute. All we do is have a seat for a sit. No one wants to sit in meditation. You sit in meditation and your phone's buzzing, someone's calling, someone's chatting. You have to do this, have to do that. There's advertisements all over the posters and advertisements all over the roads, trying to lure us into buying stuff and having more desire. Says, I don't see any big advertisements on the freeway saying, remember to be mindful of your body and mind. Some people, they get rich, some politicians get rich and then have advertisements of pictures of themselves. They buy advertisements of themselves on the freeway. Then we look at the picture and we think, that's a corrupt politician. Our heart feels, gets angry. See, these days we have so many material possessions, and we fly here and we fly there, and we see this and we see that. We're just contacting, our senses are contacting so many different things all the time. So the appropriate practice for us in this type of era, in this modern era, is not a practice where we have to try to make the mind very peaceful first. That's not the way for us. So what we are good at, however, is using our heads. We're good at using our heads. We're people who trust reason and logic. We don't have a state of peace like the old time was more readily available. Our lives are far more busy. So instead, let's allow our intelligence to be what leads us into our practice. And we practice directly by gaining wisdom. And like he said earlier, we can't rely on the thought to tell us the truth. So instead, we become the observer. We become the observer of what? Our own body and our own mind. And we keep observing and then we'll gain wisdom, we'll understand correctly that this body is something that is being oppressed and is suffering all the time, and that the mind is something that is filled with impermanence and is uncontrollable. When we see, keep seeing the body and mind more and more, we'll notice that our samadhi improves, our morality will improve, and we become able to separate body and mind and see the three characteristics of them. When our wisdom and samadhi are developing, our morality will improve automatically. So, in this era, we just continue with our busy lifestyles, but when our senses make contact with the world and we feel happy, we know that we feel happy. If we make sense contact with the world, we feel unhappy, we know that we feel unhappy. We become the observer, and then we start to see that everything that arises in the heart comes and then it goes. It comes and then it goes. And we just keep seeing that again and again and again until the mind finally accepts that the body is something that is suffering, that the mind is something that is always moving, changing, and out of control. Then we will, when our heart truly accepts this, we'll see that suffering is something just ordinary. We won't be trying to change it or fix it. The mind understands Dhamma. There's nothing special about this body. It's a mass of suffering. We know that the body is a mass of suffering. If we truly know that, then why will we feel anxious when it isn't, when it's suffering, when suffering comes up, or a pain comes up, or an ache comes up, or a sickness? Why would we feel anxious about suffering, suffering, when a mass of suffering is suffering? Why would that bother us? That's all it is. See, our mind won't waver with regards to suffering of the body when we understand that the body is suffering. And similarly, see, if we think about the fact that we're going to get old and die, we might feel bad. But if we can accept this truth, if we understand this truth clearly, then when we're getting old, sick, and dying, it won't make the mind waver. The mind and heart won't become upset about it. Take a look at this heart and see that nothing is permanent. Happiness, unhappiness, wholesome and unwholesome states come and go. None of them stay. They're always changing. We can't keep the happiness. We can't order the mind to be wholesome. We can't command negative states out of the mind immediately. We can't keep the feelings we like. And we can't push away the feelings that we don't like. We intend, okay, I'm not going to get angry. We get angry. Okay, I'm not going to get lost in thought. We get lost in thought. He says, if we really, really try to not get lost, can we do it? Of course not. We're lost from the first second. We're lost from the second where we're trying to not get lost and we didn't see that we're trying. A lot of us think, how should it be? What should I do so that I don't think? What should I do so that I don't think? That's thinking. Don't forbid the mind from doing what it does and heart from doing what it does, and don't interfere with it. Eventually you'll start to see that all phenomena are equivalent. They're all equivalent in the sense that they all come and they all go, and we'll no longer hate suffering and be enamored with happy states. We don't have to be scared, oh no, am I going to have a negative state come up in my heart? We don't have to worry, because we will, for sure. Breathe out. Breathe in. Who was breathing out when he asked you to do that? Did you know that you were already breathing when he was talking? Right? You were lost. If you're watching the body, see the body right in the present moment. See it breathing, right? Or sitting right in the present moment. But if we're noticing the mind, we have to see it retrospectively. A moment ago, we were upset. A moment ago, we were happy. It's right now is the body, how we see it. But if we're seeing the heart or the mind, we see what it was that just arose a moment ago. We look back at what just happened. It's the next moment that it is seen. It is natural for the mind to fabricate, to imagine, to get lost in thought. So we're not going to try to make the mind not do these things. We just let it be natural. What else is natural and ordinary? That happiness comes and happiness goes. Unhappiness comes, unhappiness goes. Can we control it and keep it happy all the time? That's so difficult. So just see that the body and mind working, and see the natural phenomena, what happens within them naturally. Just learn what is ordinary and natural. We can all do it, we just neglect to. We can all learn this, we just neglect to. His teacher said, it is not hard to practice the Dhamma. It's only hard if you don't practice. People that don't practice, truly practice, they just think all day long. And most people are thinking in the beginning, what's the teacher doing? How should I sit? What should I say? Who's sleepy? Put up your hand. He could feel this sleepy wave just hit him from the audience. Who here is able to feel that sleepy current? Right? That's what it's like. It's like a current that flows through the air, hits our hearts, and we get lost in a daze of a state. This is trying to feel people, open your eyes, take a deep breath, open your mouth, help to wake you up a bit. And now, just do that for a moment, and then please close your mouth, it's ugly. And feel the body breathing. Keep feeling it breathing. He's saying that you guys laugh a little late because of the delayed time with the translation. He says, oh, but they seem to find it funnier than the rest of us. Okay, it's Daika. Daika. San Panya Dila. So the people, there are a few people staying in the temple, and they're sending in their homework first. It's too hard to translate all of it, but I'll give you the odd highlight. In a few moments, he'll open the floor. And you have to, if you're going to ask a question, you have to raise your number. Okay. I'll let you know when. Prepare it if you're going to ask him a question today. He's reminding her to not interfere. In true vipassana, the word stop doing something doesn't exist. The word interfering doesn't exist. Fixing it doesn't exist. Just see these feelings that you think you shouldn't have or that you don't want to have. Just see that they come, and they come on their own. See the heart as it is. When you don't like the phenomena that arises, then just know that you're not liking. If it makes you annoyed, know that you're annoyed. He said, who likes to talk a lot? Who's a talkative person? Mm-hmm. You notice that in your heart, certainly, you're talking the entire day, whether you open or close your mouth, that you're still talking the whole day long. She keeps saying, so what should I do about this? What should I do about that? He says, oh, there's that word again, doing. It's about knowing, not doing. The easiest way to stay moral is if we're mindful. Because if we have mindfulness, we'll see the mind that wants to do something harmful before it does it. It's a defilement. It's always a defilement that has taken over and manipulating the mind that will make us do something immoral. So we fix the morality issue or doing harm or saying things that we shouldn't say or speaking out of turn. We fix that. The best way is by seeing ourselves in time, seeing our own heart in time. We'll have an automatic sense of morality and virtue. Yeah, the defilements will disappear each time that there is true mindfulness. So there isn't a need to force yourself to be nice or force yourself to be moral. It just comes out naturally with mindfulness. I've given a talk about the hindrances before, and he says all the hindrances to samadhi disappear when they are seen, when they are recognized. In your mind, the only question is, what should I do? What should I do? Just know as it is. If we see the defilements, the harsher defilements, then we'll be moral. If we see the more subtle defilements, like the mind falling off and going off in thought, then we'll have samadhi. Once we have samadhi, we can see the body and mind working on their own and gain wisdom. And then it's just a matter of time. There's nothing that is stable. Sometimes we feel like there's so many problems in our life. Oh, having such a rough period. And then sometimes things are going okay and smooth. Some of us practice better and practice harder when there's more suffering in our lives and more problems in our lives. And it's a good thing in a way that the suffering happens because we don't get as lost in the world. We learn to rise above it. You don't have to be upset about the periods where you're alone or lonely because you were born alone and you will die alone. Stop analyzing so much. Just see that the mind keeps moving and changing.
็นว่าที่ผู้กายที่มันนั่งอยู่เดินอยู่แล้วก็เกิดอะไรเลย
He's reminding that the true phenomenon, gaining true wisdom, will happen when we're not intending for it. And after we get a little bit, we start intending, hoping, looking to see it again, and then it won't happen. His mind is moving back and forth between over-focusing and sending spreading out into the atmosphere, sort of going back and forth.
Just three quick questions. First one, lately I've been watching the mind and I noticed it a little bit more restless than usual. But after watching it for a while, actually I saw that it's not the mind that changed it, but the way I watch it. And I think I'm watching it more often than I used to. But then I became worried that I'm becoming a little bit overconfident on my practice.
Okay.เขาดูจิตที่ฟุ้งซ่านนะครับแล้วก็สังเกตว่าเฝ้าดูความฟุ้งซ่านเห็นว่ามุมมองเปลี่ยนเรื่อยๆตอนการดูฟุ้งซ่านนะครับ
Oh, what do you mean when you see like the angle that you're looking at the restlessness changes?
Yes, that's right. More subtle changes that kind of mood swings, but not as intense as full mood swings.
เหมือนจะเห็นรายละเอียดของความฟุ้งซ่านมากขึ้นนะครับอาจจะมีงุ้นๆเล็กๆขึ้นมาอะไรเงี้ยครับ
Yeah, he says you're that's good. You're doing well.
But it isn't important. There's no need to see the little details often.Because whether it's a very detailed phenomena, subtle phenomena, or a very coarse or larger phenomena, they both teach us the same thing. They both teach us the Dhamma. They both teach us the three characteristics.
Mm-hmm. This is good. You're doing well.
Mm-hmm. Second question, I think it's a little bit...
ขอถามต่อครับ
related to the first I've also noticing that the changes in mental states of others also affect my mental state quite immediately and
the mental state of others
yes affects mine quite instantly mm-hmm. and it worries me a little bit because I feel I'm just reacting is that okay
เขาสังเกตว่าความรู้สึกตอนความรู้สึกของคนอื่นเปลี่ยนของเขาก็เปลี่ยนไปด้วยแล้วก็เริ่มกังวลนะฮะว่า
So why do you have to worry about that? That your heart, the feeling in your heart changes when other people yes. do. Why is that a worry to you?
Because sometimes I feel that I'm just reacting to the others. I think.I think I'm realizing I can sort of know self and maybe I'm worrying about it.
อาจจะกลัวตรงที่เห็นว่ามันเป็นอนัตตาครับ
แต่ยังยอม
รับ
ได้ยังเห็นบ่อยๆยังรู้ไม่ยอมได
้ It's because you can't accept this fact yet that your heart changes on its own. But if you keep seeing it, you'll eventually accept it. You're scared of the truth. Yeah.
So, put up your hand, your number, if you'd like to ask a question. No hesitations, please. Put up your number. Let him see it, nice and bright.
Yes,
So keep it really short. And She's complaining about a phenomena that comes up in her meditation. He says, just see that you're not liking it. Can you see? It's just suffering. When you start to see the movement of the phenomena at the center of the chest, you'll see nothing but suffering. Sometimes if it's too unbearable, and you might need a rest, and so you can do some samatha practice, breathe or do some chanting, think of something that makes you feel happy and wonderful, and try to take a rest from it. See, you feel that you are not free and you don't like it. You feel that the body and mind are dirty things, harsh things. You don't like them. Come back and do some samatha practice. Walking the path of wisdom only without enough samatha. We don't have enough energy. In her case, he says, do extra samatha so that you can take a rest from the wisdom practice here and there. But you're not able to do samatha at the mind. You do it at the object, and that's fine. If you want to be with emptiness or something like that, just do so. Can you feel you have more energy? That's because of your practicing well. Do you have any suggestions for me? No. Just keep feeling, keep watching. Can you notice that you're holding yourself together? She said, I'm nervous. He says, just let it be nervous. You don't have to hold or control yourself. You're suppressing it. Don't suppress it. Just let it be as it is and know how it is. When the mind has enough energy and is sharp, then just see the body and the mind working as they do and see that there is no self. 71, is that any of us? Okay. Yeah. Turn it around so they can see. In Thai they call the Westerners Farang, and it comes from Francais, which is Francais, because the French were the first in Thailand. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
When I am at home and I feel mindful, but when I deal with a situation that I deal with mindfully, I'm very proud, very, very proud. But I worry later because sometimes it frightens me.
What frightens you?
It frightens me that the other person isn't as mindful as I am. I don't want to feel like I'm being rude or unloving.
My whole time.
So you're afraid of what are you asking about your practice?
I'm asking about how do I get past that? How do I get past feeling guilty when someone isn't mindful and I'm mindful? I feel better, but they don't look
well.
And
can you see that the body is one thing and the mind is another?
Yeah,
it says you can separate body and mind. You already know how to do that. You can see that each part that is able to separate out in this way, none of them is a self. They're all working on their own. Like the body, it is something that is being observed. It is that which is observed by the mind. That's all it is. All the feelings that come and go, they're things that are seen or observed by the mind. They're not us. It says your mind is very good. Yeah, you see there's rapture, joy arising in your mind. From it makes the Dhamma makes its way right into your heart. Can you see that this joy that comes into your heart is just a stranger that comes in? Just keep practicing and you'll see that there isn't anything that we can call ourselves, that we can truly call us. Then as we keep practicing, whatever happens to the body, it doesn't affect our heart, because the body isn't us. And whatever happens to the mind, whatever happens to the heart, once again, the heart doesn't waver with regards to it, because it knows that these things that happen aren't us. You know, this part you're not accepting completely yet. A moment ago you were accepting completely. You've reached the height of where you are able to live.
I'm frightened.
Yes. Good.
I don't know how Paul Tam what Bangkang Ko Lusik Pit Wa Komi Sati Dai De Kon Un Mi Sati Medai.
He says that everything is absolutely fair in this world, and if you have mindfulness and others don't, that's completely fair. Everything comes out of its own causes. Yeah. He says you have very nice, natural mindfulness. 72? ฝึกเรียนกับเจสประมาณ4ปีอะครับแล้วก็อยากได้คำแนะนำเลยครับ Can you see that your mind is a bit outside yourself? It's out in front. Don't pull back or that will be tight. Mm-hmm. Just know exactly as it is. Yeah, he says, you're doing good. He says, my students are good. I pass. Loom. Chap. Loom. Oh. He said Jess is busy translating and forgot that Jess is feeling happy about his student. Okay. 73. คนนี้เห็นเกิดดับแล้วด้วยนะครับ73 or 74? Okay, just go ahead.
I've been doing mindfulness for 3 years.
ฝึก3ปีครับแล้วก็ขอคำแนะนำเหมือนกันทั้งหมดก็อ่านหนังสือหลวงพ่อครับ You're still controlling? You might be nervous, so you're holding yourself together?
Yeah.
Just try to be more relaxed. Yeah, nice, sweet smile. Can you see that the face is smiling but the heart isn't? Yeah. So you have a habit of controlling. Yeah, can you see that? So there's still something in your heart that believes that practicing the Dhamma means changing it and controlling it. Okay, 80? 1? 81? ก็ฝึกสักพักหนึ่งแล้วก็รู้สึกว่ามีสติบ้าง
อ๋อครับ Can you see your face?
Okay, you can sit down now. He just needed to connect. คือฝึกสติบ้างแล้วครับแล้วก็รู้สึกว่าแต่บางมันยุ่งมากแล้วตื่นอย่างที่หลวงพ่อบอกว่าตื่นเช้าแล้วให้รู้สึกตัวเขาไม่ค่อยรู้สึกตัวตอนตื่นเช้าอยากได้คำแนะนำ
แต่มีธรรมชาติพูดซ่าเดี๋ยวพูดซ่าเสร็จสมาธิไม่เอาแต่ไม่ว่าแต่ถ้าเป็นดูความรู้สึกทีละมองภาพรวมแล้วแต่พูดซ่า
Okay, so he says that your heart has a natural tendency to be very busy and moving a lot, restless. So don't try to see each individual state in a mindfulness that way. Just see in a broader perspective that now the mind is busy. And so if you wake up in the morning and it's going here and there, just see in the broad perspective. It's busy now.And then if the heart is really busy and then you don't like it, you don't want it to be that way, then come to see that there is the not liking there in the heart. Each person has his or her own path and own way. It isn't that one person is practicing better and the other is practicing worse.So if our heart is busy or restless, we just know so. And then if we don't like that, if we see the phenomenon, we don't like it, then we get annoyed with it, then just know that we got annoyed. We don't have to try to make the mind good, and we don't have to try to make the mind peaceful. 83.
I have been practicing meditation for a few years, but I say the last year I'm doing it much more. Do you have any suggestions? Thank you.
ก็ขอคำแนะนำเหมือนกันฝึกไม่นานนะครับฝึกSo, can you notice that you're stuck in focusing, holding attention, controlling? He'd like you to just let go and let everything be natural as it is. And what'll happen is your eyes will see this and you'll have a feeling, your ears will hear that and you have a feeling, and then just see what feelings arise in your heart.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. He says he's starting he's starting to say you have too much joy, Judy. Yeah. Cop teach, huh? Yeah.
Just notice it.
64?
Is that all?
No, he said you noticed and now you woke up from it.
Thank God, he said your students are really good, Jess. You're doing a great job. Thanks, guys. Just watch in a relaxed way. No expectations. He's just asking if he knows a particular teacher or a particular monk. There isn't any. He says he can separate the aggregates. He knows how to separate the aggregates. He says, but you're intending too much and too much in a hurry to get results. He's just talking about the different demeanors of different teachers. Some are nice and smooth, and some are, well, you saw what he was doing. Some of them, the way they are and the way they walk, has nothing to do with the state of their heart. It's just their mannerisms. Some are playful, some are strict, some are just depending on whatever their mannerisms are. You don't have to know the names of the defilements that arise. Just see whatever comes and see it go. It's not important if you're not sure what it is. You can just see whatever come and see whatever go. Says if we don't see things on time, it'll come and manipulate the mind. If we don't see the defilements, they'll manipulate the mind, they'll take over. We'll believe it's us. Some people don't know that they're good at practicing. Some people are good and they have no idea. They're not busy thinking about it or analyzing themselves.
Yeah.
He says that he told her a few months back that she was doing really well with her practice, and after that, she was just as stiff as a board for months. And he says, I know. He says, that's what happens. That whenever I compliment people, they all end up doing things wrong after. We're practicing so hard. And why? So that we can see mental and physical phenomena. Good, bad, peaceful, stressed, restless, they're just phenomena. They're all the same thing. They're all equivalent states. They come, they go. And when they come by themselves. When they go by themselves. No one's doing them. See, when the defilements take us over, they deceive us. Now we have to really fight to be spiritual. We have to really try to practice. When the defilements cover us, then all we're doing is thinking, what should I do now so that I'm practicing right? You're never going to feel peaceful when you want to be peaceful. Says he was just pointing someone else that he knew and said, you're practicing much better at the beginning. I thought, I don't know how I'm going to teach this person, but now you're practicing much better. He says, the problem was some people go to this temple, go to that temple, listen to this teacher, listen to that teacher. You don't get anywhere trying all kinds of different styles. You pick what works and you stick with it. Come. So we're going to take a picture with him in a few minutes. He's just going to take a break, but they're going to set it up for us, the picture. So we're done for today.